I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. John and Gordy filling in. Maggie will be back again tomorrow. Feel free to text us if you'd like, or at least give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC on the Civic Media Network.
That's right, 855-752-4842. And we're going to talk about J.D. Vance.
Yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
He's the vice president now, right?
Well, yeah, we haven't heard too much from
him.
He
doesn't talk very much to the press.
Well, it's a good thing that he doesn't, because we know he'll say something really wrong.
Yeah.
And we're being warned about that. Rachel Maddow had a piece on him the other day, and it was just a fascinating one, because, as you know, we have never had this many billionaires as part of an administration before, or at least their influence outside the administration influencing the inside of the who could keep track? You know,
they had a cabinet meeting yet? Have they taken the official picture of all the billionaires that are in the cabinet?
Well, not yet.
I want to see that.
Yeah. But there is one individual that, actually two individuals that Rachel Maddow focused on the other night, and I thought we'd at least take a look at these individuals. Curtis Yarvin is a billionaire and an inspiration for J.D. Vance's political view of America. He came right out and admitted it. Now, if you ever have heard of this guy and what he has done and what he has said and the following that he has, he's a philosopher, and he also, along with Nick Land, are the founding members of the anti-democratic philosophical movement known as, and this is such a positive, uplifting name.
Yeah.
Dark Enlightenment.
Dark Enlightenment?
Yes.
What's this guy's name again?
This is Curtis Yarvin.
Curtis Yarvin.
It's weird and terrifying. It said in the description, techno-authoritarian ideas, which makes you warm up to the whole thing, isn't it? Yarvin, who considers liberal democracy as a decadent enemy to be dismantled, is intellectually influential. And you have seen this throughout the entire Trump administration, the individuals that are on his administration and that he's nominating for these offices are all part of this ideology, this thought process. And Rachel had this little piece on Curtis Yarvin. Let's listen to 169, and you will be amazed, I think.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
The other thing about getting rid of your government is you can't just say, well, the limits of the government are the limits of the formal government. You have to say, well, what is the system actually? And it includes a lot of things that are called NGOs, things that are called universities, things that are funded by the state. It's a very, very large system, and it all needs to be destroyed.
NGOs, universities, things that are funded by the state. It's a large system, and it all needs to be destroyed. Because we need to, in his words, delete the government, delete the whole system, including nonprofits, including universities, including everything the government funds.
Yeah.
We need to destroy all of it. And why would you do that? What would you want to replace it with?
You need a CEO, and a national CEO is what's called a dictator. It's the same thing. There's no difference between a CEO and a dictator. If Americans want to change their government, they're going to have to get over their dictator phobia.
Americans are going to have to get over their dictator phobia.
Need a CEO, and a national CEO is what's called a dictator. If Americans want to change their government, they're going to have to get over their dictator phobia.
Americans need to get over their dictator phobia.
That's amazing.
This is the philosopher, right, of this milieu from which we got J.D. Vance. This is the philosophy that drives the eccentric right-wing tech billionaire class that has ascended, that is effectively the defining feature and driving force of Trump's second term. That is where they got J.D. Vance from.
All right.
Okay, dictatorphobia.
Breathtaking in so many ways.
Kind of.
And what we have seen is Trump has become the dictator. On day one, he has accomplished that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how he's going around the Congress. The Congress is okay with that.
Well, it sounded like when he was campaigning that he said he was going to be
on the first day. That was misleading.
And then they just kind of, you know.
No, that was misleading. He just meant on the first day I'm going to be dictator.
Yeah.
And he didn't say it ended.
Right. So, he meant from day one.
Yes, day one. That's what he should have said.
Not just day one.
Well, we can't expect him to actually speak correctly or at least form ideas.
Or speak the truth.
Yeah. Or the truth.
Right.
He's never told the truth ever. And now he's blaming DEI on the tragic plane and helicopter accident.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rachel went on to also blame a second person.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is Peter Thiel. He's a billionaire who helped J.D. Vance along his entire career and got Trump to put him in as the VP. All right. So let's listen to Cut 168.
The billionaire who gave him all of his jobs and installed him in the U.S. Senate and who then reportedly told Trump to put him on the ticket with him as his vice presidential running mate, that billionaire himself is on the record saying he does not believe in democracy.
Great.
He does not believe that women should have the right to vote in America.
Ooh, sweet.
He once spent a small chunk of his huge fortune trying to get people to move onto floating sea colonies made from shipping containers, because that would be a better way to live than living in countries, because countries are so terrible and so is democracy.
Money right. Well spent. So
that's the political project of the guy whose other political project was putting J.D. Vance in at the top of the U.S. government. There was also a big red flag, at least there was for me, about the way J.D. Vance talked about why he wanted to be in politics, why he wanted to be in charge.
Yeah, Republicans, conservatives, we're still terrified of wielding power, of actually doing the job that the people sent us here to do. We've got to get comfortable with wielding power.
If you're not recognizing in this moment how crazy things have gotten and how outside the box we need to think, then I think you're ultimately not really serious about taking back the country. And yeah, look, I agree. We are in a late Republican period. If we're going to push back against it, we have to get pretty wild and pretty far out there and go in directions that a lot of conservatives right now are uncomfortable with.
Indeed. I got to say, among some of my circle, the phrase extra constitutional has come up quite a bit.
When he says we're in a late Republican period, he's not talking about the Republican Party. He's talking about we're in a late period of us as a republic.
There. Yeah.
Like the American Constitutional Republic is ending because it's time for something new.
Almost the thing that you need to do, step one in the process, is to totally replace, like rip out like a tumor, the current American leadership class, then reinstall some sense of American, political religion.
Rip it out like a tumor. Rip it out like a tumor. He said, whatever it is we've had in this country, rip it out like a tumor.
Now, how do they get away with talking like this, saying crazy things like this? It would really, you'd think it'd make people angry, mad, discouraged, hit the streets with protests? No, nothing. I've heard a lot of talk about the disillusioned MAGAs out there because now they're being affected by the government shutdown, especially, the defunding of certain projects and certainly, job creating projects in their state. They're angry. They can't believe this is happening. A lot of these individuals had friends that were immigrants and they're being shuffled off and taken away from them. So now they're really upset about all of this. We told them what would happen. Mm-hmm. We kept saying that they're telling you what they're going to do. And they thought, well, no, that's not going to happen. Like I've told on this show, I believe, not on this particular show, but on our morning show, we had a Christmas party, and my brothers, I guess, eventually ended up voting for Trump, which freaked me out completely. And because I freaked out, I said, well, why? And they said, well, these are just things he's saying.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
Right.
Is the phrase wait and see? So
he
we're waiting
used
and
those
seeing.
Things to during the campaign. It was just things to talk about. Nothing serious. Project 2025.
Boats and batteries on a boat. I don't know. Sharks. He really did distract a lot of us with that story. But
well, then he distanced himself from Project 2025. He had
no knowledge of it at
all. No.
But if you know Trump, he doesn't have any idea what government does or how it works and how you have to write things down and create bills and things like that. And I said at the time, he's going to take Project 2025 and take every one of those ideas and just sign off on it because it's written, it's done already for him. He's a lazy person. He's golfed twice or three times already just since taking office. You know, we've really got to kind of focus on this guy. He is taking this to the top. And I think this Curtis Yarvin philosophy of destroying government and just starting over with a dictatorship, and we should all get over it, you know, mm-hmm. dictatorship. Get used to it.
Yeah, create chaos, yeah. Break down the government institutions, right. Sign all these presidential orders that just go out there. I mean, how many has he signed so far? A couple of hundred, it seems like.
Yeah.
And they're out there, and Congress doesn't know what to do about it. They can't do anything about it. Apparently,
and the FAA had a big problem here. So, because of freezing hiring and their funding, all of this is taking place all across the country in all our departments, and we're seeing the breakdown. And people are going to need these services, mm-hmm. and they're not going to get them. And people are going to really, truly be angry, and maybe ready for a change, but that's a couple of years away. So we've got a lot of time to kind of sit through this.
Well, and at the same time, rounding up, with ICE out there in all the big cities, rounding up all the immigrants.
Sending these people now to Guantanamo of all places, right? My son, who's 26, said that what they really want to do is just lock them away in a camp and then forget about them. They're not going to deport them. They're just going to keep them there. And, that's a very cruel, inhumane thing to do.
Well, remember the last Trump administration separating kids from their parents and locking them up in cages.
Right.
There's still a thousand kids out there.
And now they're going to go into elementary schools and pull the kids out of the school with the parents not even knowing it.
Yes. And they're just getting warmed up. Okay.
Yeah.
Taking your calls, 855-752-4842. It's John and Gordy filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, taking your calls and texts. Get on the Civic Media app and text us. Coming right back.